Today's daf in Masechet Bechorot, brought to you Bein Nechomot Yerushalayim, is daf Chof Aleph. And we're on the fourth line, Omar Rabbi Shimon. So let's once again review briefly what happened yesterday, because that is very central to our ability to understand today. If you recall, on Omar Aleph yesterday, we had a machloket, an actual four-way machloket, with Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that for some reason we don't worry about whether it is Metanefet, and we had three possible reasons why that would be true. Perhaps Metanefet isn't even going to potter. Perhaps you go according to the rov. But that isn't what's important to us. What's important to us is the continuation where we had the two shitot of Rabbi Yoshua. One of them was Alpi, the teachers that he had, Amru. So my Rabbeim taught me that you need to worry about Tinuf. And Tinuf, we said, was some type of extended or thick bleeding. We're going to see more about it today. And that, the question revolved around, said the Gemara, if on the sixth month, beginning of the sixth month, there was a Tinuf, according to Zairi, that bleeding is called Tinuf only if it prevents a remating for 30 days. So then that means you have this extended bleeding and cleansing that's going on, which doesn't allow the animal to go into heat until it's over. Now, the question was, Aliba the Tanakama, if that had happened, they hold him Zairi. And if there was a Tinuf on the sixth month, meaning on the day following the sixth month, after it's already 6 months old, then if there was another child during the first year, there's no way that that was a real Tinuf. Because that real Tinuf would have prevented conception and the concept for 30 days. And if the conception indeed had been prevented for 30 days, then for heaven's sakes, it takes 5 full months to have a child. But 5 full months means that it will be after the first year. And he said, Toshnatan. So since it was within the year, it's clear that that wasn't a real Tinuf. It was just bleeding. And obviously it had conceived anyway during that month. And according to Zayn, even then you'd have to be concerned. Why? Well, we had three possibilities. Why? Because he doesn't hold of Zairi's din that Tinuf is defined by 30 days. And therefore you could really have had a miscarriage and nonetheless reconceived within 30 days. And therefore the fact that she has another child after our having witnessed that bleeding attack after the first 6 months doesn't prove a darn thing, and it may well be that it's not a Bechor, even though it's still Toshnata, right? So there, that's my sheet expanding on the Tanakhama. The other possibility is that they're arguing about whether maybe you do need 30 days, but maybe you don't need a full 5 months for pregnancy. Maybe you can have a premature delivery, which would also be a viable later. Or the other possibility is, as we said, that maybe you need a full 5 months. The question is whether the morning of the last day is considered to be Miksata Yom Kikul or not. Those were the three machlokas. Now, yesterday we brought a case, and that it started off really our concern today, and that was at the end of Amud Beit yesterday, where we had a case. As a matter of fact, it's such a short talk, let's just review the case. Tana Rabbanan, take a look at, and I will run through it quickly again for 5 minutes. Tana Rabbanan, a gediyah that had three daughters, and each one of those daughters had three of her own children. All of those together go into the same dir lehitaser. So they all would be, this could all happen within 1 year. The grandmother, she would not be included, but the three daughters, each of whom has three of her own, gives us a total of 12, even without the grandmothers. We've got 9 plus 3 mothers, right? 12 is really more than enough. All you need is 10. Ask the Gemara, and here the crucial thing is, so Rabbi Shimon says, Anira Iti, I actually saw this case, where we have the mothers and the children's all Yisra B'tok Shinata. And that doesn't seem to be saying anything different than the Tanakhama said, the one thing that he seems to be stressing is betoch shnata, meaning it didn't have to work out to be like on the last day of the year. It could have worked out any time during that year. We'll see that may be significant. Why in the world did they all need to have triplets? In order to get 10, you only need the three mothers, and you need one set of triplets and two sets of twins. And that gives you 10, if we don't include the grandmother, right? So couldn't we have one have triplets, and the other two would have twins, tarti-tarti, and there you'd have exactly 10. Well, because I think, well, what are we going to sit here and start telling you? One had triplets, two had triplets. Well, we just say then they all had triplets. Like, keep it easy, you know? So instead of saying that, so I did the Ika, Chodelo, Sagabelo, Shosh. It's only going to work out one of them is triplets, so we just say, keep it easy. So Kul Tana Kulu, the older Shalosh, Shalosh. Yes, but the real question is, why do any of them require triplets? Why couldn't they all have twins? And then the mother would have a second birth, and her child, her grandchild, her together with her grandchild, her fourth child, would give us 10 without. Apparently, the reason this is so important here is because apparently it's saying, no, there's no way that she could have given birth again in the same year. But that implies that you need 30 days for recovery, because she could get pregnant at the end of the first month. She's already mature enough to conceive. And then she had her first three daughters. Okay. If Tinuf requires 30 days, right? So a birth is also going to lead to afterbirth pains and bleeding and so on. So she's going to need another 30 days. But if she needs another 30 days, according to Zahirim, plus another 5 months, then her next set of children, her child, is going to be born one day too late to be in the same year. Remember, it's all got to be in the same year. Rosh Chodesh Elul defines that year. So that can't possibly happen because it'll be a day too late. Right? Obviously, the point of the discussion over here is to make it work out. Is the din, not the, that it's not possible. We're trying to understand the norm. We're going to talk about a normal case. So therefore, ask the Gemara, I mean, so what's the point? Why, and this of course was that we understood, that the Tana doesn't want to go into triplets and twins. The whole point that I'm trying to reach you, push you into the corner, is to ask you why we needed a complicated case of a triplets and two twins. I mean, just say. And then they all had babies together. So everything would be fine. Then the mother would have had her second set. So ask the Gemara, Lamalei Lamitnei Shalosh Klal. We never need to get into triplets at all. All we need to say is that they all had twins, including her. Who had a single, a twin, it doesn't matter. We only need one extra child. And that gives us also precisely 10. Without the triplets, right? Tahadir ihi v'toli ba'adaya. Why would she not be included together with them? And that this proves that the Tana is telling us that lemekasavar, that mitanefet, having any type of afterbirth bleeding, does not allow her to become pregnant once again and still have a child b'tok shenata, which is what Ziri is saying. Ina chozer v'yoledet b'tok shenata, right? Says the Gemara, well, now wait a minute. I mean, we've been talking about Ziri in terms of miscarriages. We have not been talking about Ziri in terms of an actual birth. It may well be that Ziri is wrong. The Tana doesn't agree with that. And if the animal miscarried, maybe it could get pregnant 2 weeks later, not a month later. But a real birth, that's different. A real birth, there really is hormonal issues going on over there. So therefore, imtim selomim betanefet choser v'yoledet v'tok shenata. Even if you would hold that Ziri is wrong when it comes to a mitanefet of a miscarriage, but a yoledet, if she really had a birth over there, vaday ena choser v'yoledet v'tok shenata, she's not going to have another birth. That's the point. Comes within the year. It'll be a day off at least. Now comes along Rabbi Shimon. And in this context, we have to assume he's referring to the same situation. Okay, so now we'd like to figure out, what is it precisely that Rabbi Shimon was really coming to add? He doesn't say exactly what he means. It's clear that this was said in context of the entire discussion that we had earlier. And therefore, what it is that he's adding has got to be bringing up exactly those questions. If he says betok shnata, so then that means that what he's referring to is a case. It's a case that is rather arbitrary. We got to figure out what the case would be, where he would say, well, I think it can happen anyway. And the Rabbanan are saying, no, that couldn't have happened. Basically, if you think about it, it's very similar to what we did when we tried to understand the difference between Rabbi Yoshua, according to his Rebbeim, and that they said that Tinov is a Simen Vlad, and between his Sfora, I myself would say that at 6 months, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it wasn't clear what exactly was going on that his Rebbeim had said. We sort of have to extrapolate from what he was saying to understand what must have been happening. Well, the same thing is true over here. I mean, look, we got to figure out some way or another in which there is an issue that would have left us with the question of betoch or without the word betoch. In other words, Rabbi Shimon would be saying, well, it's not a question of bringing it up right to the last minute of the second year. This is something that I saw happen even before, even in the middle of the year. Okay, so there are various alternatives. Rashi suggests that the one that makes the most sense to him is to learn like this. We're talking about a case where, exactly as we said before, the youngsters themselves had their own children, and that way we were able to bring everything into the same year. But the question is like this. There's got to be something that had happened, and that something must be that, look, the day before the 6 months are up. So according to the way the Rabbana, it doesn't matter. Everybody would agree that it's possible for that final children to be born on the last year, right? So the last day of the year. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon then would be saying, why is that? Let's think about that again. It's the last day of the 6 month, but it's not 6 months old yet. It takes 30 days, if you're old of Ziri, to be able to conceive. So let's say now she mates after those 30 days, because Ein Tinuch Pochas B'Shloshim Yom, and then she gets pregnant, takes another 5 months, and it's the last day of the year that she has these children. And he, Rabbi Shimon, is saying, well, it doesn't have to be the last day of the year. It could be a couple of weeks before. Betoshinata. Okay. If that's the case, so then what would the machlokas be between them? Exactly all of the options, and we'll see even more, as the one that we had before in the machlokas of the two approaches of Rabbi Yeshua, those who taught him or he himself. The simple way would be to say, my ika ben tanakam la Rabbi Shimon, there's the Eri. Okay, so according to the Tanakhama, look, since it takes a full 30 days, according to Zairi, for this animal to once again conceive after she miscarried, then it must be that was the very last day following the Tinov. It was the very last day of the year, if we include the 5 months and the 30 days, that's 6 months. So it was the last day of the next 6 months. In other words, the last day of the 12th month, that it had the animals, whereas Rabbi Shimon says, nah, I don't know the Ziri. She could have made it after 2 weeks, and therefore it's really possible, as I saw it, that all this could have happened a couple weeks before, or a couple days before. But it doesn't have to be that last day. Or we could say, actually, she does need 30 days. And Kuli Alma Itla de Ziri. And the question over here is whether you need a full 5 months. Okay, so court, if you don't need a full 5 months, so then there's no problem, because the Rabbanan say, no, you need it for 5 months, therefore it's got to be the last day of the year. Rabbi Shimon is saying, nah, you need 4 months and a day, as long as you're in her fifth month, same as a human being in a ninth month. And according to that, she could have had a child, 20 days before, so the end of the year. So fine, maybe that's what they're arguing. So Tanakama, ena yoledet mekutayim, according to Rabbi Shimon, yoledet mekutayim. Or we could say everybody holds any yoledet lemekutayim. Question is, do you need that entire last day? You don't need the entire last day.
So according to the Tanakhama, no, you need the entire last day. We don't say Mitzvah Yom Kekulo. It's got to be the last day of the year. According to Rabbi Shimon, it could even be the day before. Or, you know what? There's a whole different alternative over here. Maybe they agree about all of that. Everybody agrees Mitzvah Yom Kekulo. Everybody agrees you need the full 5 months. Everybody agrees you need a full 30 days between a delivery and a new conception. So what are they arguing in? They're arguing in whether a child that is less than 7 days old can go into the same dir l'hitaser with animals that are already roid for a korban. Normally, you can't take an animal that is 5 days old, let's say, you can't even make it kodesh. Not just you can't bring it on the mizbeach, because the Torah says shivat yamim yeh tachat imo, and it's a bechusar zman. But since the Torah adds umiyoma shmini vahala yeratzeh lekorban Hashem, what that means to bring it as a gift to Hashem, it's only from the end of the seventh day on. Any kind of animal. So now if that's the case, how can you bring in this newborn into the dir lehitaser on its knobbly knees, and it manages to come through the gate, and you're going to say, this is the maaser? It's not the maaser, because it's not roi for kedusha. That's the machloket. It could well be that the kulayama amrina miktzat hayom kekula. The question is whether a mechusar zman is nichnas ledir lehitaser or not. Come and flip it. And indeed, vahatanya, there actually is a brayta that makes it clear that according to Rabbi Shimon, he has a very particular shita over here that allows bringing a mechusar zman into the dir lehitaser, which would account in a brand new way for the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. Nothing to do with the issues we had previously spoken about with Zairis and going into heat and gestation and Mitzvah Yom Kekula. No. We're all agreed on that. But here the Brayta quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who quotes Rabbi Shimon as saying, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, that a mechusar zman can be nichnas l'dir l'hitaser, which shows us that this is his idiosyncratic psak. Normally, we wouldn't have thought this, but he's come up with this halacha, and that's exactly why he says to the Tanakhama, well, I don't see any problem. I see that this Gediyah could have had now her second generation, and within the same year, the last day of the year, because Mikzah Yom Kekulo, and nonetheless, you could have them all in the deer. And we explain why that is true. He himself explains why that's true. Because, says Rabbi Shimon, Varehu kibuchar. Because it's not any different than a bechor. I mean, when a bechor is born, it's usually not 7 days old. Okay, so nonetheless, it becomes kodesh at the moment of birth. It's petarechem, right? So just like a bechor becomes kodesh as a petarechem before you can bring it as a korban. Then when it's 7 days old, you bring it as a korban. And there's no contradiction between it's getting its kedusha before, so too maaser, same thing. That's the problem. We're going to say, ma b'chor kodesh l'fzei zmano v'korev l'achar zmano, af b'chus zman kodesh l'fzei zmano v'korev l'achar zmano. There's nothing wrong with having the kedusha chal b'tok shiva yomi, and then of course you're not over the issur bringing a b'chus zman. When it's roi, that's when you'll bring it. Now the Gemara here, as Rabbi Yaakov has pointed out,
the young one is counted as for the answer, but you wouldn't take it.
You could take it.
You could take it
on the carbon, as a carbon yet until it's 7 days old.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the Gemara naively assumes now that the makor of Rabbi Shimon's comparison is simple mamatzino. In other words, just like we find this is the din by makor, so too this would be the din of maaser. Now that is a little problematic. Asks the Gemara, I mean, why would he compare maaser to bechor and say it has this unique din? I mean, remember, bechor is kodesh by itself. Okay, over there, obviously, I mean, wait, you can't wait till it's 7 days old before it's born. That's something of a problem. Why do you look confused? I know where you teach, it's not a problem. And that's the Israeli school system. But in most places, if it's born, that's when we start counting how old it is.
Right.
Yeah. So there'd be no way for it to be 7 days old before it's born. So therefore, by definition, the Torah... So by definition, the Torah is saying, let a bechor be kodesh before 7 days and brought after 7 days. But here you got a maaser. Learn it out from all korbanos. Could you make a korban ayla before it's 7 days old? No. So why can't you make it a bechor before it's 7 days old? A maaser before it's 7 days old. Ask the Gemara the Yalafi Bechor. Instead of learning out from Bechor, doesn't it make more sense to learn it out of the norm? Ne'elef Mikachim. Well, no, actually, it makes more sense to learn Maaser from Bechor than from anything else. Why? Mistarba mi Bechor habile le'elef. Because, look, it shares many things uniquely with Bechor. What is that? First of all, Shekain Goel. Both cases, Bechor and Maaser, there's no din of Geula. It says Lo Yigael. We're using the din of Geula, meaning Pidyon. But since the Torah uses the word Lo Yigael, don't try to be poda it. You have to eat it. You can't take off its Kedusha. So remarkably, that means that they are the same. There's some kind of strange Kedusha here that Maaser and Bechor share that is impossible to be paid. The thing itself is eaten b'mumayt, but there's no way to buy it back. Furthermore, they're also the same in that they could be kodesh even though they have a mum. Normally, as we saw before, if kadam mum kavua lehekdesha, they don't become kodesh. But a bechor that is born with a congenital deformity is still a bechor, and that is true about maaser as well. A maaser that has a mum is completely kodesh. Furthermore, they both share a very special din about the tumura, and that is the kodesh aim we learn, et damam tizrok, it has to be them and not their tumura. So even though normally the tumura, let's say, of a shlomim, you would actually bring as a shlomim, the tumura of bechora maaser is not brought as a bechora maaser. That is also an indication that they have the similar set of rules. And therefore, we should say, okay, so just like a Bechor is Kodesh as a Mechusar Zman, so too Meiser is Kodesh as a Mechusar Zman. And the last thing that they're similar in, of course, is that Achila. That is to say that you eat them, B'mumam, instead of they're having a Kedusha, which you need to do something about B'mumam. No, it gets a mum. The owner, in the case of the Bechor, the Kohen, or the owner, in the case of Maaser, the Yisrael, eats it. It's very simple. No pidyon, no karba, no nothing. So these show, this set of issues, show that look, there's something very similar to the Kedusha of Bechor and Maaser, therefore they should be learned from one another. Says the Gemara, well, I mean, that's true, but it's not very persuasive, because maybe you could say, Adarabba, Mikachim Avilei L'melech. In many ways, it shares the din of other kachim. I mean, first of all, like the fundamental issue about a Bechor is it needs to be a male. I mean, there's no din of needing to be a male on Meiser. So why not learn out from a Shlomim? Where it could be a female. And then you cannot be Magdashit during its first 7 days. So it shouldn't be Nichnas Adir Litas, okay? And furthermore, it's so different from the Bechor where the Torah makes it Kodesh, right? It's the Petarech that makes it Kodesh. You don't need to say it's Kodesh to make it a Bechor. Well, Shankar, when it comes to Meiser, you need to define it as the Meiser. So it's very similar to normal Kedusha, not to none, not to other things. And furthermore, we have also the din of the Matanot. So the halacha is over there, that the, all other things, of course, this is part of the Matanot Kuhuna. This is not true of the Meiser, it's not Matanot Kuna, it's not true of Shlomim, it's not Matanot Kuna, it's your own if you're the owner. Just like a Meiser is. A Meiser is a form of Shlomim. So why wouldn't I learn that from regular Shlomim? And maybe the most crucial item is, darn it, it's a Poshet. And Bechor, one of the most striking things about a Bechor is that it's a Bechor. I mean, it can't be anything but a firstborn. So we're saying, let's learn out. I mean, a Meiser is so like a Bechor, it's so not like a Shlomim. It is. I mean, it doesn't have to be the firstborn. How is it like a Bechor? A Bechor is unique. So why would I want to learn out Meiser from Bechor? The answer is the Gemara, we are not talking about a Mamatzino. You're right. If we were talking about a Mamatzino, probably Parshat would be Machria, actually, even if it were the same number of things. But actually, Rabbi Shimon was really basing this on the Gzeres Shavah, that we spoke about so many times before. By Bechor, it says, Ve'evarta ko peterechem, which is a strange lashon, if you think about it. And when it comes to Maaser, it uses that same word, Kol asher ya'avor tachat hashevet. From that combination there, the havarta, havarta, from havara, havara, from Bechor, we have a gzera shava, which forces us to look at it as having the same din. And therefore, we're left, says Rabbi Shimon, with this halacha. A Bechor is kedesh before Shivas Yomim, even though it's not right to be brought in the Mizbeach. Adli after Shivas Yomim, so too is a Meiser kedesh before Shivas Yomim. And it's Nichlas Adirli Taser, Elibit Rabbi Shimon, and therefore it's a simple explanation of the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Chachomim. According to the Chachomim, you'll never get the second group of children in the same year of Meiser as the first. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you will. According to Chachomim, you won't, because even though they may be born in the same year, they're not going to be 7 days old because of Mitzvah Yom Kekulo, and therefore you're going to get into the second year. They're going to have to go into the deer with the next group of animals that was born after Rosh Chodesh Elul. Was Aliba to Rabbi Shimon? Well, it was born Erev Rosh Chodesh on the Yom Kippur Katan. And in that very same day, you go ahead, you put it in a dearly taser, and I saw it happen, says Rabbi Shimon. And that would be the simplest way of understanding the machlokas. Now, we've been talking about this tinuf jazz, really, without describing exactly what that means. What exactly is tinuf? Erchidomi tinuf. Omar Rava, well, you know, the shepherds, they have a word for this. It's like Kiri Amri Ruuta Ditzlata. It's like the Ro'im along the seashore. You know, they've got a lot of these problems where there's miscarriages. And the way they put it is Otsar Chivata. The womb, so to speak, has been locked up against this vlad, and it just degenerated. That's the way they term it. In other words, it means, as the Rambam says, that a Ro'eh, who is an expert at knowing what's going on with his sheep, will be able to say, look, there clearly was an embryo here that was unable to develop and was degenerated. So he'll know. Shmuel says, well, you don't need that type of thing. It's simply ba'abue dama, simply bleeding, but it's not normal, just blood. There's bubbles in the blood which indicate that there's some type of process of fermentation or degeneration going on, and that doesn't require the specific indication that it's a vlad. That itself is that it's a vlad. V'tzarich laharoto lechacham. Now the Rambam paskins like Rava, and he says tzarich laharoto lechacham. So obviously he understands that tzarich laharoto lechacham is not part of Shmuel's mind. So in other words, we're saying, look, but no matter what, however you define it, you have to show it to a rabbi.
This is post miscarriage.
We're assuming that it's the indication of it is the miscarriage. It is, or, of course, we're saying a real birth is, by definition, tinuf, obviously without this. In other words, 30 days after the real birth, we're borrowing the term tinuf for talking about cleansing the uterus. So that's it. So even a natural process of cleansing, according to Zahiri, that was the Kavachomer that we said yesterday, or Rashi utilizes today. I mean, if a miscarriage is going to prevent it from conceiving for a month, Koshkin, a real Leda, will and will apply Zahiri's din. So the truth is, we should really, in our own minds, recognize that we're talking about two different phenomena. A real birth, obviously, is not, we're calling it Tinov, but it's not Otsar Chivata. It's not Babu Edama. We just know for a fact that here's the child, there was a birth, and that it's going to take time for this animal to be able to reconceive.
So have you believed after a regular birth?
Yes or no? In other words, there would be, but it doesn't matter to us, really. We're borrowing the term tinuf because it's at least the equivalent of tinuf, hormonally, we're saying. So you got to show it to a rabbi is what we assume it means. And the Gemara says, rabbi? What does rabbis know about veterinarians? And what's that supposed to mean? Chacham. Surely you don't think rabbis know anything about this. So why would you show it to a rabbi? Amr of Papa, he doesn't mean a rabbi. He means a vet. A ro'eh chacham, meaning he means...
Dr. Rabbi.
Yeah, he means somebody, not just some redneck who says, oh, yeah, I've done seen that many times. He means somebody that can define what he sees, that understands what he sees. So that he basically, he knows what he's looking at. Amr Chista, you know, you said yesterday, you were talking about the comparison of humans, about a Shvir, of a Shilya, by an Isha, which reminds me of another halacha. See, Rav Chista got a little confused between the din of tinuf, which actually we understand means a period after birth or after miscarriage, where he thought it was a reference to how developed the embryo was. You see, so he thought that when Ziri is saying, well, tinuf is only after shloshim, maybe that meant tinuf is after Vlad is 30 days. So it wasn't clear to him when we say that there's a minimum type of Vlad. So we'll see those who were listening to Rav Chista, in this case was Rav Papa, turns out, had misunderstood all concept of tinuf. And that's why we're bringing this here. It really isn't Nogea this sugya at all. It's Nogea the sugya nida in terms of human tumas leida. So he says, look, says Rav Chista, we know that Yitzirat HaVlad B'Isha, in Nida it says that a embryo has to be 40 days of development from conception before a miscarriage is going to cause any type of tumat leida. And if it's less than 40 days, it's not considered to be in any way a vlad. As far as we're concerned, it's water. We don't care about that. So now, if that's the case, when it comes to a behemoth, obviously, there's got to be some minimal shear where you're talking about bleeding. I mean, what's bleeding? What if it conceived 2 weeks ago and now it expels this invisible fetus? I mean, is that considered to be a bechor? In other words, it potters the ba'achrav? Or what's the shear? That's what I'd like to know. So if Yitzirat HaVlad B'Shazar Bo'im Yom, Bo'i Rav Chista, how about a behemah? What's the shear with a behemah? Said Rav Papa was there, he jiggles up by, he says, isn't that what Ziri was talking about? That tinuf has to be 30 days, meaning that the embryo had to be 30 days in development. I always thought that's what he meant.
From conception?
That's what he thought. As I said, it's a mistake. So Omar Le Rav Papa Levi, Lav Aina de Ziri? Wasn't that what Ziri meant when he said, ain't enough, meaning it's not considered to be a miscarriage if it's less than 30 days from conception? That's what he thought. And Abaya said, this has nothing to do with that. Ziri said, was not referring to the development of the embryo from conception. He was talking about 30 days until going into heat again. Nothing to do. He wasn't dealing with that issue. Ahu lekabel itma. That was a question of its ability to accept a mating, but not how old the embryo was. Okay, now, so we don't know. All right, now, the other thing that interests us here is that, you know, the Mishnah made a big deal. And I guess the reason it made a big deal, well, about the Akum, is we started off the Masechta with Petach Hamor about what's the relationship of buying a Hamor from an Akum. And then we got into the next paragraph, what's the din about buying an animal, Agabe, Bechor, Be Matayra, from an Akum. But, I mean, you never told me. I don't know why an Akum is the issue here. You never told me what the din is if you buy it from a Jew. Is it any different? I mean, do I make different assumptions if it's Betoshin also? I mean, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't count. What's the issue? So what would be the din of a Bokeh Miyisrael? So Matzino Lokeh Miyoveh Kochavim. But what about a Lokeh Miyisrael, which would be the normal case? My. Omar Rav, if you buy from Yisrael, then you should know that the firstborn is a Vadai Bechor, whenever. Even if it's 3 years later. Now, if you bought it 3 years old, you said, no, by then for sure. No, not by a Jew. Because in Ita de Bichra, had this animal already had a firstborn, so then you would have said, the seller would have said, oh, listen, this animal is a bargain. Because you buy this animal, you're going to get an animal whose firstborn is not a firstborn. It's already gone through the Bechor. We've taken care of all that. These are pre-washed genes. I mean pre-laid at Bechors. So there's no question of a Bechor. You'll keep the animal. So I'm only taking 10% extra for this mother. So since it doesn't apply as a option on the sticker price, it's clear that it wasn't there because these guys, These salesmen will always get you on the sticker price. Why doesn't it show up? Must be that for some reason this animal for sure has never had a child, and therefore he doesn't say anything about it. So, therefore you can be sure, I mean, and he's a Jewish salesman to boot, I mean, come on. You can be sure if he would have found a way to stick it to you, he would have. So Yishtabuach Avi Mishtabeach, he would have been telling you about what a great deal this is. Shmuel says, no, it's only a Bechor Safek, you know, because the guy may think, well, he probably wants to shecht it, you know. So what am I going to start telling him? You know, about the animal already had, I mean, oh, no, he'll say maybe. I want an animal that's never been gone through that trauma. I want a fresh, young mother. I forget it. I better not say anything about it. So therefore, the fact that he wasn't mishtabeach doesn't prove anything, because he's always nervous. So therefore, Kasava, he thought maybe the guy needs it for shkitas. He doesn't say anything about it. Rabbi Yochanan says, I see just the opposite. It's vaday chun. It vaday did have a bechor, because if not, the guy would have been afraid that, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to sell him an animal. He's going to think it already had a firstborn. He's going to be nichshal on the Bechor. He's going to eat the Bechor, and I'm going to go to hell. Nah, it's not worth it. So I'll tell him, listen, you should know, you better make sure that your firstborn is a Bechor. If it's a male, you're not going to be, bring it as a Bechor. Because Kima Diki Sura, Udui Avi Modale, he would have definitely told him and not allowed him to assume that he could eat the firstborn. Yeah, it wouldn't be Mamish Lift either.
Well, that's nice.
Wait, is that a question? Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan. So, in fact, we seem to have a bright that it says that Rabbi Yochanan is right. He's a prizing Shita, who says that he would have told you. And therefore, it must be there's no problem. And it's chulin, because we have a very similar case. Look, by Otovet Beno, you have the same issue, right? You go into a store, you buy an animal, you want to shecht it today. So, oh my God, as you're about to shecht, you think, what if the guy had sold the mother or the child of this animal today? The other guy is shechting it. Maybe he got there first, so I'm going to be over on Otovet Beno. So the din over there is, well, if the seller didn't say anything when you bought it, you don't have to worry about it.
So it's cool.
Yeah, we had this in chulin. Now, this was talking about the special days of the year where, like, everybody's shechting, you got to worry. Okay, so here, if he didn't say anything, so what does that teach you? It teaches you exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. If there's a problem, the butcher will let you know there's a problem. If in this case you bought a bechor, you bought an animal, if there was a problem with a bechor, he would have told you.
What's considered a problem? Have one?
No, that's the opposite. If the guy figures, he's going to assume that this animal is already 3 years old, must have had a couple of kids already, I better let him know it didn't. If he didn't say, so then you don't have to worry about it. That's what we see clearly from Chulin. That proves Rabbi Yochanan. He says, well, it really does. I mean, it's not just Tanya the Messiah. I mean, this seems to be a tiyufta on anybody who would argue with Rabbi Yochanan. Saying over here, 100%, you can rely on an issue right of Otoved Beno, which would imply 100% you could rely on an issue right of Bechor that the guy would have told you. So, Leim Matavi tiyufta the Rav and Shmuel. It should prove that Rav and Shmuel are both wrong. Shmuel says it's a suffix, not a suffix. It's a varai. And Rav says, on the contrary, he would have been, no, not true. If there would have been a problem with the Bukhari, he would have told you. Not, he's looking at the sticker price. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a tiyufta. You know why? Because remember, back there in Chulin, we learned it out of a pasuk that there's a chiyuv 4 times a year that you have to say it, right? Because it says, b'yom echad, we darshan, lo tishchtu b'yom echad, on that special day. On that special day, one of those special days, Arba Paim B'Shana. But that means, Lo Tishchatu means it's up to you to see. And that's why we say, Arba Paim B'Shana, Chayav La'achriz. So who's the Chayav La'achriz on? The seller is Mechuyev to put up a notice. Well, okay, the guy, oh man, you know, this is one of those special days, I'm selling, I better put up the notice. But that doesn't prove that when I'm selling a guy a Bechor. So what am I going to do? A check, not a Bechor, but an animal that if it has a Zohar will be a Bechor. So what am I supposed to do? Check his tzitzis. tell him, hey, by the way, if it gives a birth, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to sell the guy a car. I'm going to tell him, by the way, this car is not to be operated on Shabbos. I mean, this is his business. I'm not going to get it. That's not for me. Not for me to say.
Take it for an ultrasound.
See whether it's a bechor. Okay, so therefore you can't prove from the case of Otovet Beno where b'mocher talya milta, it's really the Torah put that responsibility on the seller. Mashenkin here hacha b'lo kaf talya milta. It's up to the buyer, and because of that, the seller may say, it's none of my business. And maybe according to Rav, just the opposite. He'll say sticker price. That's the main issue. It's all about sticker price. Okay, so from here we can't bring 100% to Raya. On the other hand, it does show that where you can expect to be notified, that you have a right to rely on that, even on a mamish alav diraita. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ani raiti gedia that was nitasra in the same year. So my ike exactly, beitana kamla Rabbi Shimon. Well, whatever the scenario is, I mean, obviously, they're arguing about whether it would be possible for it all to be the mother, meaning the mother could have had another child, or the mother could have gone in there, which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, somehow or other, he's going to get in one additional birth within that year. Whatever the case is, look, I don't know. I mean, we don't have enough information. Maybe it was Tinfa, but Akashisha, like the case that Rabbi Yeshua was talking about, or maybe it had given birth, and now it's going to give birth again, like the Gemara at the end of yesterday was asking, why can't we just say that that was the case? Okay, but whatever it is, what would they be arguing in? Well, the simplest explanation is they'd be arguing in Ziri. Do I need a month between pregnancies, or do I not? And that's an extension of Zairi's issue, you know. So maybe they're arguing about Igben El Zairi. The Tanakhama says, look, you're never going to have a case where to add another child because you need 30 full days. That's what Zairi said. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you don't need 30 full days. Let's lay this year. Or you know what? Maybe they all hold of Zairi. And the argument is, do you need a full 5 months for pregnancy? Which is the question of Yoledet L'mekuta'in K'mifugei. According to the Tanakhama, Eina Yoledet L'mekuta'in. According to Rabbi Shimon, Yoledet L'mekuta'in. Or maybe they all hold that you need a full 5 months. And the question is whether the full 5 months means you also need the last day, or whether it makes it Yom Kekulo, and that'll make all the difference in the world. Because if you could say because Yom Kekulo, like Rabbi Shimon is clearly would be holding, then that means on the very last day of the year you could have another set of children. And then he was, no, I saw exactly the case that you said couldn't be. I saw it happen. Because mixes the Yom Kekulo, Kamiflege. The Tanakhama, lo, Amrina mixes the Yom Kekulo. Lo, Rabbi Shimon, Amrina mixes the Yom Kekulo. Or, since we're talking over here about Meiser, whoop, there's a whole other issue. Maybe over here everybody's agreed about the pregnancy stuff. The only question is whether a newborn who's not yet 7 days old is Nichnas Adir Litaser. That's the question. And indeed we know that Rabbi Shimon has a unique shita in this, and he holds it is Nichnas Dirli Taser. Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yudam, Rabbi Shimon, Mechuser Zman is indeed Nichnas Dirli Taser, because it's the same as a Bechor. Just like a Bechor is Kadosh Lifnei Zmanai when it's born. And it still needs 7 days to get to be 7 days old to be Karev Lacher Zmano. Same thing is true about a Mechuser Zman by the Itaser. And Mechuser Zman is Nichnas Dir Litaser, same day that it's born, but and there's no problem. Mechuser Zman Kadosh as a Meiser of Zmano, Karev Lacher Zmano. Why would I learn it from Bechor? Are you yelling me Bechor? Nev Mikachin. Well, Meiser is very similar to Bechor, right? Shekein has the same din about geula. There's no geula. It has the same din of mum. Has the same din of tumura isn't brought, and it's chal even in a bal mum. Its tumura isn't brought on the mizbeach. Both of them are eaten in the event to be by the kohen in the case of a chor, by the bal Yisrael. The case of meiser, that's very unique. Well, adarabba, mikachim, normal kachim havilei melech. First of all, a bechor needs to be a zohar. And Meiser doesn't. And furthermore, Meiser requires Kedusha by you, just like Kachin. Well, Bechor doesn't. And furthermore, Bechor is a Matanis of Tikuna. It goes to Kohen. miser isn't. And hey, a bechor is a bechor, and a miser is a pasha, you know. No, the truth is, Rabbi Shimon wasn't learning it out of there at all. He was learning it out from the Gzeir Shava of the Havarta Kopeta Rechem to Kol Asher Yavar Tachat Hashevet. Havara, Havara, Gomir. Now, what is Tinuf exactly? Omar Rava, well, it's Kiriamri Re'utat Slata. Otzer Chivata. Shmuel says, look, it just bubbles in the dam. And, but you'll need to get a professional opinion. Tzer Chlarotel Chacham. Chacham. Rabbis aren't really professionals. Minayada, Amar of Papa, I mean a vet, a roachacha. Amar of Chista, Hari Amru, Yitzirat, Avlat, Bishar, Baim Yom. But what about Bebehima? Boy of Chista, Bebehima, Bekama. Amar of Papa, Labai, psst. Lava Haina de Zeiri? Dama Zeiri ain't Tino of Pachod Mishloshim Yom. Abai has said to him, no, it's got nothing to do with that. Aula Kabelitma. Anyway, good. We've been talking the whole Masech about Lokeach. So here, talk about Lokeach from Novi Kukhavi. Well, what's the din about a Lokeach from Yisrael? Amar Rav, Bechor Yisrael is a Bechor Vadai. Because im ita de Bichra, ishtabuchi avim ishtabeach le. V'shmuel amar, no, it's still a suffix. Because what if the guy thinks he needs it for Shechita? So suffer the Shechita kaboyle. Rabbi Yochanan says, on the contrary, if he doesn't say anything, so then it's Vadai Chulin. Because my time out, im ita do lo bichra, since there would be an isser involved that you could be nikshal in, the guy wants to make sure you won't be, and he's udui avimodale. And we actually see this in a bright. The Tanakh of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it's chulin. Where is that? When it comes to otobit vedmino, which you bought either the young one or the mother, im lo hodio, you can assume that there's no problem. And holak v'shokto the inonimna, because otherwise the guy would have said, "Listen, here's the phone number of the guy I just sold the mother to. Before you shecht it, you better find out that he didn't." So if that's the case, is the Gemara lematav to you to the Rav Shmuel? No, because there the Torah made it dependent on the mocher, and that's why it says yom echad the yom amiyuchad lo tishkatu. Do you have to see to it? It won't happen. It's up to Lokeach. It says, Bitvachorcha, Uvetzonecha. What's in my business? I'm selling him an animal. It's now part of his book of its own. He wants to find out. He'll give me a call.